The storm had come up suddenly out of the northeast. Significant damage had already been attributed to the two previous storms over the past several weeks to homes and properties, and it looked like it was only going to get worse. The roads were covered with the remnants of fallen trees and branches, looking like the aftermath of a battle in the Ardennes. On an overcast night, beneath a sky as dark as India ink, flashes of lightning seared the turbid night sky, occasionally illuminating the long-drawn faces of the men escorting this caravan. Their vehicles fought against the ravages of the unforgiving storm, swaying in rhythm with the side swells of mist from the crashing waves along the coast road that was, in some places, only yards from the edge. Nighttime had fallen over this craggy, windswept, stormy New England coastline somewhere in Massachusetts. A long procession of cars cautiously wound its way along the dark, narrow coast road being spit on by the rain. The headlights of the big black limousines cast yellow beams of light that flickered and bounced and did little to brighten the road ahead. The procession seemed to take forever, fighting against the biting elements that howled and confronted them like an invading force intruding without permission. As it rounded a bend in the distance, another entourage of cars could be seen parked, with headlights glowing, waiting. As the other cars approached, men dressed in dark trench coats began to exit their vehicles. The oncoming entourage pulled to a stop, and more men emerged. The back doors of each main limousine were opened by attendants, and two men exited, who proceeded to walk up to each other clutching their coats, and shook hands. Dressed in foul weather clothing with upturned collars and scarves tightly wound around their necks, their breath misted in the air before them. The men turned and proceeded to walk down to the cliff's edge, overlooking the stormy sea, engaged in conversation, leaving their cadre of attendants standing behind them like darkened statues in a frozen forest, their silhouettes enhanced by the headlights from their limousines. They engaged in their conversation for a while before the smaller of the two dropped his head, shaking it from side to side. After a few moments, he put his hand on the other man's shoulder and tapped him in a gesture of understanding. Just at that moment, like an omen, a gust of wind swept a wisp of mist around the legs of both men. Stomping his foot nervously, the taller man turned his head away from the gust and squinted to see the last lightning strike over their shoulders to the east. This one was closer and lit up the sky, leaving the impression in the moody clouds of an ancient dragon with its mouth agape. The light on the rocks below moved as if the beast was awakening. It was time to go. There was a momentary pause in their interaction, and then the two men warmly shook hands, turned, clutching their collars, bracing themselves against the wind, and walked back to their cars, where their attendants opened the doors once again, and the two men got in and drove away in separate directions, leaving the scene as windswept and dark as they found it. As they drove away, the shorter man reached for the phone installed in his car and dialed a number. Through muffled and hushed tones, he said, "Tristan." Commonly understood as a reference to Tristan and Isolde, a chivalric romance retold in numerous variations since the 12th century. This time, however, the man's utterance harkened back to a relationship with men who had a long-standing tradition of courage, strength, brotherhood, and honor. Wiping the remains of salt spray and rain away from his face, he quietly spoke into his phone. "We need to talk."